You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
This morning I want to talk about healing. And I know this is, what I've discovered is it can be a controversial subject and people have different views of this. But what we want to do is open our minds to hear what the Bible says about healing. So we're in a theme this year of go and make disciples. Our theme this year is to go and make disciples. Jesus commissioned to us to make disciples, and healing is a part of that go. And you'll see later why I believe healing is part of the go that we have. One of the reasons that I feel God's led me to talk about healing today is I was listening to Simon Holly speak. Simon Holly leads the Catalyst Network of churches of which we're part, and he leads King's Arms Church in Bedford. And recently when I heard him speak, he said he feels it's time to contend for healing again, to pray and fight for healing again. If you've ever heard him speak or read some of his stuff, you'll know that the King's Arms Church in Bedford really has seen a lot of healing miracles, but they went on a journey of praying for that in, praying that in, as have many churches like Bethel, like King's Arms, that see many healings. They've been on a journey fighting and praying for healing to happen. But he said recently in the lockdown, for them, the amount of healings that they saw went right down. And he said, come to pray for people and you find have lowered expectation, a less expectation of God healing. And so it's time to contend again and pray for again that healing happens. So can I ask you a question? Who here, put your hand up, if you've ever prayed for somebody to be healed by God? Okay. So leave them up a sec, but put them down if you've ever prayed for somebody to be healed and they weren't healed or have not yet been healed. Put them down. So most of you, it's quite a common experience, you've prayed for somebody to be healed and they weren't or are not yet healed. And that's a bit depressing, isn't it? But what that happens is, and it's a common experience that lowers our expectation. We can think, well, maybe God can heal, but will he heal now when I pray? Who has ever prayed for somebody to be healed and they were healed? Praise God, just to put a positive note on it. And who has ever been healed by God? Great. So we have evidence of God healing. God heals today. But we need to have a biblical understanding of what healing, what the Bible says about healing. So that we base our faith not on our experience, because that sometimes means people are healed, and for many of us, they're not healed. But we base our faith on what the Word of God says, not our experience. Okay, so that's what I want to do today, is look a bit at what the Bible says about healing. I'm going to concentrate mainly on the New Testament, and only very briefly in a few verses, but it's right through the whole Bible. Healing is right through the Bible, from Genesis right through to Revelation. Many, many examples in the Old Testament. And I love in Psalm 103, it says this, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." He forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. A very blunt, very obvious statement. All your diseases are healed. And of course, in Isaiah 53, there's the famous, well-known verse where it says, "By his wounds we are healed," looking forward to Jesus. But I want to focus on the New Testament, and I want to look at three things. Firstly, why is healing important in the Christian life? I want to look at God's will about healing, and the question, why isn't everybody always healed? And I don't have all the answers, but I want to look at what the Bible says. So, firstly, why healing is important in the Christian life. And I've got 3 points in this. Firstly, healing seems to be a massive part of the ministry of Jesus. Just look in the Gospels, the story of Jesus, and you'll see healing was a massive part. Now, a good friend of mine, a church leader, once said that he says, I believe that the church is over-obsessed with healing. And that might be true. But to be honest, I can't see anybody that's more obsessed with healing than Jesus was. He was healing all the time. So if you look in the Gospel of Matthew, there's healing in chapter 4, chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15, 17, 20. In Gospel of Mark, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. In Luke, chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13, 17, 18. It is right throughout the story of Jesus. Many, many stories about Jesus are about healing. John's Gospel is a bit different, a lot more about the teaching of Jesus. But when you look at what Jesus did, so much, he seemed to go from healing to healing to healing. In Acts 10, Peter says this of Jesus. So Peter, who walked with Jesus, said this about Jesus. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Jesus healed everywhere he went. He was the great healer as a man on the earth, and he still is. And so if we're followers of Jesus, we really need to consider what healing needs to play part in our lives, what the role of the part of healing is in our lives. So firstly, it was a great, massive part of the ministry of Jesus. Second point is, preaching of the gospel was nearly always accompanied by healing. I'm talking in the Bible. Preaching the gospel was nearly always accompanied by healing. So part of my journey in looking at healing and considering healing is that many, many years ago, I thought, I'm going to look at and study what was the gospel that Jesus and his apostles and his followers preached. What was the gospel that he preached? And as I looked at that, to just analyze what is it, then what I noticed was that the preaching of the gospel was nearly always accompanied by healing. So in Matthew 4, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Preaching the good news and healing every disease and sickness. They went together. When I studied this, I thought, you know, it seems wrong that we can believe God for healing and not believe God believe God for forgiveness and not believe God for healing. Because they seem to be the preaching the gospel of forgiveness and healing went so much together. And recently, just in my, what happened actually, just going back probably over 20 years ago, as I looked at that, I decided I was going to pray for people to be healed. And because I'd been really studying this and looking at what the Bible says about it, I prayed with such great faith. I came to pray for people who were sick, and I had a massive expectation of them healing. And I prayed with this great faith and expectation. And what I found was, initially, nobody got healed. Nobody. It seemed as though nothing. But it seemed each time I come to pray for somebody else that I had this great faith in me. Until someone really knocked that. And that was a friend of mine, a healing evangelist, called Ray Manahotu. He did a meeting in the village where I grew up, where my mum lived. And I said, I'm going to go up and be there. And I invited my dad and his wife. I invited loads of people, but my dad and his wife went. My mum went. My brothers didn't go. I did invite them. My brother's mother-in-law went, and my brother's wife and mother-in-law went. And so we were all in this row, and he preached the gospel, and then he said, I'm going to pray for healing. And my brother's mother-in-law was at the front. I was chatting with my family, and the funny thing was that suddenly the spirit came on her, and she fell on the floor. And I thought, oh, my word, that's the last thing I want to happen when my family are here. It's great, you know, when the power of God moves, but when something weird like that happens, you don't want your family to be there. Has anybody felt that? You brought somebody, you thought, oh, let nothing weird happen in church today. But the power of God, we can't control it. And she had no idea, never experienced that. She fell to the floor. And I think I said in quite a squeaky voice, it's okay, it's okay. She's okay. And she got up healed. And the next day, she was still healed. He also prayed for my dad's wife, who had a bad back, and she wasn't healed. And my dad really slagged it off, really, next day. And so my faith went from up there to down there, and I felt terrible. Next day, I went to this Raymond Manahuda's church in the morning, and after the service, they were having a picnic lunch together, and there was this lad who had a bad knee. And I said, you need to get Ray to pray for you, because at this stage, you know, I'd given up a bit. And so I asked Ray, and he said, you pray for him. And so you're going to pray with me? No, you get so-and-so. So I pretended that I had the same faith, and I really prayed for him with all my heart. And there's somebody with me praying, but he didn't pray at all, didn't say anything. And this lad who wasn't a Christian, he was instantly healed. My faith was down there, and he was instantly healed. How do you work that out? I don't know. It's a mystery, isn't it? But I persisted, and I carried on. And he just, how did you do it? And I said, wasn't me. I have no idea how that happened. But God healed him. That was part of my journey. Recently, part of my journey on healing is that I have a real desire that that when people come among us, whether it's on a Sunday or whether it's they meet us in the street or in small group or whatever, they don't just hear about God, but they experience God. In the Bible, it says that God is a God. He's not like the false gods who cannot speak anything or do anything. God is a God who speaks, and God is a God who does something. So when God, I want to see healing, but other answers to prayer, but also for God to speak into people's lives so that they know God is real, that he speaks, that he does. Because otherwise, I just feel that we're not without the evidence that we saw in the Bible times of God's power. We're not preaching the whole gospel. Because it's not just about words, it's about power. So the preaching of the gospel was nearly always accompanied by healing. So there's a story in Matthew 9 where they bring this paralyzed man to Jesus, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And they all think, oh, can't say that, only God can say that. And all religious people are upset. And Jesus knows what they're thinking, and he says, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. I'll say to this man, get up and walk. And he heals the man. It's a sign that Jesus says it's a sign that God forgives. He links forgiveness of healing. 1 Peter 2 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Forgiveness and healing, part of the salvation that brings. Just want to say, I'm not saying that if you're sick, it's because of sin. I'm not saying that. I'm going to look at that in a bit, but I'm not saying if healing doesn't happen, it's because of your sin. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the gospel comes, preaching the good news, forgiveness of sins, and healing. They come together in the Bible. I want to say, if you have a different view, and I know the whole subject of healing is controversial, please look at the Bible and see whether what I'm saying is true. I don't feel I've invented this, but I'm open for you to test it and come back to me and say, look, the Bible says this. How do you interpret that? So firstly, healing was a massive part of the ministry of Jesus. Preaching the gospel is nearly always accompanied by healing. And thirdly, Jesus commissioned his followers to do the same, to go and heal. Matthew 10, verse 1 says, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And verse 7 says, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Matthew 11, then he sends out 72. And you see, in Acts, the New Testament church continued this practice. You see in Acts 2, there's a spectacular, I think it's Acts 2, I think, where the healing outside the temple, a spectacular healing of a man crippled from birth. Acts 5, it says that the shadow of Peter fell on sick people in the street and they were healed. There was this amazing, amazing healing. And Jesus promised in Mark 16 that those who believe shall lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. So I believe that we are commissioned to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. But I want to challenge us to be, in what we believe, we need to look at the Bible, the Word of God, and what it says, and not necessarily look to our experience. So that's why I think healing is important in the Christian life. Secondly, I want to talk about God's will about healing. So the question often we ask is it God's will to heal everybody? Is sickness ever God's will? I know that my answer might be controversial, but I believe it is always God's will to heal everyone, that sickness is never God's will. Now, how do I justify that? Because that is controversial. Firstly, there are times in the Bible where it says Jesus healed all the sick, all of them. Matthew 12, verse 15 says this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick. And there are other instances where it says Jesus healed all the sick. Matthew 8, verses 2 to 3 says, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing. He said, be clean. Immediately he was cured of leprosy. I haven't seen in the Bible an instance where it says that Jesus said to somebody, it's not God's will to heal you now, or not God's will to heal you. I don't see it. It says that he healed them all. So really, theologically speaking, I'm quite surprised when we pray for people and they're not healed. That's where I'm coming from. Not my experience that they're always healed, but that was Jesus' experience. So Jesus many times healed everybody. Secondly, Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he's asked us to pray for the kingdom to come as it is in heaven to earth. So the question is there sickness in heaven? Revelation 21 says this, I heard a loud voice from the throne. This is a picture of heaven. Revelation looks into heaven. A loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. This is our hope, that one day there'll be no more mourning or crying or pain. One day. But we live at the moment not in that new order. So there's a reality, isn't there? That in this world there is mourning and pain and crying. But we're taught to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. So, I think when I look at heaven, healing is God's will. So third reason why I think that it's always God's will is that the biblical exceptions to healing are so few. And you say, well, we can look at the Old Testament and it says that God sent sickness on the Egyptians, sometimes on his people. But in these, we've got to understand that one of the characteristics of God is his wrath, his anger. He is a God of anger. God is always angry against sin. He doesn't go off and on. He's always loving. He's always angry against sin. But if he allows or sends sickness, it's not because of his will. It's because of his anger, his justice. But his will is to bless. Yeah, his will is to bless. He doesn't want to send a curse. Salvation frees us from the wrath of God. It frees us from the curse. It's not what God wants for humanity. He wants healing and health. And I know that's controversial, but I look at the Bible and I think, you know, look at the New Testament particularly. And for me, it's important to know that God wants to heal. So why isn't everybody healed? This is a big question. And the simple answer is I don't really know. But there's a few things I can say is one that we're all going to die. Our bodies are going to die. God said that man will not live more than 120 years. So that's my goal, 120. Good one. You're not far behind me. Yeah. Thanks, Pat. You did say you were going to heckle one day. You know, I've been waiting for it. I knew it when I preached about healing. So we're going to die. We'll probably die of something. And so we can't realistically say we're always going to be healed because we're going to die. It'd be great if we could just reach the 120, close our eyes, and we're in heaven. Never ill. But the fact is, the new order of things has not fully come. Or to put it another way, the kingdom has come, but it's not fully come. So in when it's fully come, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'll give you an example. It says in 1 Timothy, God our Saviour wants all men to be saved. That's not masculine, that's all people to be saved. God wants all people to be saved. Are all people saved? No. So we're not yet in the place where God's will is fully accomplished in the earth. We're in this, the kingdom's come in and it's advancing, but it's not fully. Our bodies will be one day redeemed. The last enemy to be defeated is death. That's the last enemy. So one day death will be defeated. We'll have new bodies. But it's the last enemy to be defeated. So we're on that journey. The fact is, we are in a battle, a spiritual battle, and the Bible says the whole earth is under the power of the evil one. So we're battling to bring in the kingdom of God into this evil world. Matthew 11, verse 12, Jesus said this, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." So there's a force to lay hold of the kingdom of God. There's an effort. And if you look at the story of King's Arms, there was like a fight in prayer, an effort in prayer to break through into healing. And if you look at the story of Bethel Church in Redding in California, that's the same. It may be that some people in the healing ministry prayed for somebody the first time and they healed, and the second time and the third time and every time. But for most people, that's not the story. One of the greatest people that moved in healing was John Wimber. If you read his story, God told him to pray for healing. He was a church leader and he prayed and he preached healing for months and nobody was healed. And he said, God, I want to stop. And God said, no. And he carried on praying. And then one day, he actually prayed for somebody who called him to pray, and he went up to this room where this lady was in bed, and he prayed, and he was going out, and she got up, and she said, what are you doing? I said, well, you've prayed for me, I'm healed, I'm getting up. And he was as surprised as anybody, because he had prayed so many times, and nothing happened. But there was a fight that he fought to see a breakthrough in healing. And so we're in a battle, and that, for me, one of the reasons that not everybody's healed. That's going to be the story of many churches, many ministries that see more healing than we do. So I'm talking about why not everybody's healed. I don't know, but I think these are some of the reasons. But we shouldn't let that stop us praying for healing. I think sometimes we can have almost extremes of healing where we're almost overly optimistic. And, you know, we pray for somebody and they say, yeah, you've been healed, but it's just not manifest itself yet. Maybe you think that. But if somebody's still ill, they still feel ill. And then we can, on the other hand, have a bit of passivity where we say, well, if it's God's will, then you'll heal. And we don't push for it. I think we need to be balanced and go for healing, not because by our force we can do it. It's not by might or power, but by the Spirit. But because we see it as a promise of God. I believe Jesus bought healing on the cross. And now I want to see Jesus get all that he paid for. So you might ask the question, is it my fault that I'm sick? Is it because of my sin or my lack of faith? I want to say no. It's quite a complex subject, but look at this in John 9. Here's a great theological question. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And then he healed him. It's a reasonable, I guess, a reasonable theological question to ask. Was it his parents who sinned or him? But for this man, this is not a theological question. This is a heartfelt experience. And God's mercy is so great. So great. But they didn't even ask why. They just said, was it his parents? Or they only gave Jesus two options, and he chose neither. No, it's not about the parents' sin or his sin, but there's the work of God to show God's glory. The work of God to be displayed in his life. So I don't question that. You know, it says in James, if anyone is sick, let him call the elders. They will lay their hands on him, anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, they will be forgiven. Yeah, I don't say that sin causes bad in our life. Yeah, it opens the door to bad. But God came, Jesus came, to heal our sin and deal with us, forgive our sin. And heal our sickness. He deals with a whole lot. So yeah, if somebody's in sin and we're praying for them, we're going to pray that God forgives and heals. So my conclusion is that it is God's will for us to pray for people to be healed today, as it was in the Bible. And then, so when we come to pray, we can have confidence. It is his will to heal. And I think when we come to, we must have a foundation of what the Bible says, otherwise our expectation will be so low. Amen? So I want to conclude there, and we're going to pray. I want to say that, you know, I feel God keeps reminding me to push into healing, to seek healing. And I want, who feels the same? Who feels the same? Let's be on that journey together to seek God for healing. You know, I've felt at times people have said things like, we're over-obsessed with healing and there's more important things. But I've been encouraged by people like Simon Holly and others that say, no, it's in the gospel. We don't need to be ashamed of going after healing. But I do want to say there is something we need to seek more than healing. We need to seek the healer. The healer is greater than the healing. He is. Thank you for your heckling and encouragement. The healer is greater than the healing. You know, there was a guy came to a meeting in this church in a wheelchair, and he responded. He responded for prayer, and he came with his electric wheelchair at the front, and people surrounded him and prayed for him to be healed. He was upset. Do you know why? He said, I came to the front to respond to the call for more of God. And they didn't ask me, and they didn't pray for that. More of God is more important than healing. More of God. Our bodies are wasting away. These bodies will be gone, and we'll get a new body. So it is important to seek the healer, but it's important to know that God is the healer. He's called in the Old Testament Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. It's his name. It's part of his nature. We need to seek the giver rather than the gifts. And don't we get excited about the gifts and what he does rather than him. But do you find, this is a confession, but maybe you've experienced this as well, that there are times, and I think lockdown and pandemic has been one of those times, where your hunger for God is evaporating. That you find yourself not wanting God as much as other times. Anybody experienced that? Yeah? Some of us have. And I want to really pray that we do have an increased hunger for the healer, for the giver, Jesus. And we're going to pray for healing as well. Father, I want to pray. I want to bring my heart, many hearts today, Father, and pray for a healing of the heart. That if our hearts have looked to other things, Lord, the worries of this life, the concern about riches or doubt or fear, if those have overshadowed and we've looked to other things, pray that Jesus would become the desire of our heart again, that we would find our first love. Father, if there's healing inside that we need, then bring that as well. But direct our hearts to you, Lord. I pray for a healing in Jesus' name. You know, there was a word brought earlier. I don't know whether you heard it. It was a bit quiet, the microphone, where God was saying that there may be areas of life that are dusty, that are dirty, that you haven't let God come in fully. You know, when God says that, it's not to condemn us or to tell us off. It's to say, let me in. You know, you can't clean up your life. Only God can. Oh, Father. God, if that's you, just bring that area to God with no shame. God is not going to reject you. God will heal you and cleanse you of your sin, cleanse you of the end. Holy Spirit, come into those areas right now that people are bringing to you. In Jesus' name, bring your healing to our hearts and souls. Jesus. Yeremes. Okay, we're going to pray for healing now. Sometimes God speaks to some of us, to any one of us it can be, to show us what he's doing. You know, Jesus said he can do nothing except what he sees the Father doing, and the Father shows. And the Father shows us what he's doing. And sometimes he gives us a word specifically about healing that he wants to do. And some people call it word of knowledge. Yeah, it's a word of knowledge. So you might have a word of knowledge about something, an ailment that God particularly wants to heal. So if you feel that God is showing you something, then please come and share what you feel God wants to heal. That will really give faith to people. First thing I want to say is I feel God has shown me that there's somebody you hear for the first time, and there is something that you really want God to heal you. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand. I just want to pray. And you want you to reach out for that thing that God has... You know this. You've come today for that thing, and you're here for the first time. Actually, it might be a physical thing. It might be just a real brokenness that you feel inside. So I want to pray for that person or those persons that are here for the first time that... just want to reach you for healing now. I pray in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, come and bring healing right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. And the thing about words of knowledge, when God speaks to you, sometimes you're just thinking, oh, is that me? Or have I made that up? Or is that God? Sometimes I've spoken out words of knowledge that I made up, and sometimes they were God. But what I think is, do you know, if it's wrong, what's the worst can happen? There's nobody here with that ailment. But if it's right, what a great thing to share that, and for somebody to know that God has put their finger on them. So have you got a word of knowledge? Yeah, so we'll just make the microphone available. If you've got a word of knowledge, we're going to... If God heals you, please, it'd be great if you could tell us. That's real encouragement to people. If you really feel that God has touched you. Go on.
Yeah, I just felt that someone's got either had a break to their arm, and they're still suffering with pain in their arm somewhere. So if that's you, you want to come up to the front.
Anybody had a break in their arm?
Previous break, pain in their arm at all, whatever it is. Okay.
Anybody else? Oh, Dan, you got a word?
I just feel God wants to heal hips. I think it's a right hip. Definitely hips, and God wants to use it as a testimony to the power of his Son. So I think if that's you, it will go somewhere, and it will have an impact on somebody's life. So, you know, it's like a painful hip.
Anybody there? Anybody else? Okay, do you want to go over there, Dan, and pray? Anybody else feel that God has shown them somebody wants to heal? Just come, you know what? I'll come to you if you prefer, but if it's just wondering, oh, is it me or is it somebody else then? Oh, who's? Oh, hello. Didn't see you there.
Amen. While I was praying, I heard God saying he wants to heal the mind.
The mind?
Yes. He wants to heal people's mental health. He wants to heal people of anxiety. And that's what it's been going on for a long time, especially throughout COVID. And he wants to touch people's minds and heal their minds and take away their anxieties.
Thank you. So if that's you, you can put your hand up and people can pray for you, but you might feel you don't want. So you grab somebody, do receive prayer, but it's nothing to be ashamed of. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. I'm not saying you should be ashamed. Sometimes we are, and we don't want to. Any of these things, if you want to respond and you don't want to put your hand up, then that's fine. But so if you do want somebody to pray for you, for the mind, just put your hand up and people come and pray for you. Yeah, there's somebody there, two people there. Could some people go and pray for these people? If you've got a hand up.
I just want to re-emphasize that. I felt that God's been saying to me throughout the whole service about breaking chains, and it's to do with depression, anxiety, and mental health, and that come to him and he'll help break the chains and let you free.
Could you pray generally? Pray for the whole congregation. Let's all pray. Let's all stand and say amen to this prayer. Don't stand or sit or whatever, but I mean inside we're standing and saying amen. You know, there's a lot I could say. Yeah, I've needed help through COVID.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you. You've made it clear today that you want to break chains. Whatever it is that's holding us back, whether it's to do with circumstances, physical health, spiritual health, emotional health and well-being, Lord, we just bring it before you now. We lay it at the foot of the cross. We ask, Father, that you just heal us completely, that those chains are broken, and we can come to you with confidence, Father, and know that if we keep coming to you, keep wanting to be in you, with you, allowing you to be the Lord of our life, allowing you to have control of our life, completely immersing ourselves in you, that we can have confidence that you will heal us and we can live freely with you. Amen.
I kind of knew the topic for today because Tim had told me in the week, and actually what was interesting last night when I declared, Jesus, you're worthy of being worshipped, much more than what's going on here at the concert that I was at, I really felt like God say, actually, I want to heal. I want you to give a word of knowledge to do with leg. And then as I was kind of just talking to God there, really, do you want me to do that? I felt like he said left leg. So if you've got an issue in your left leg, so that's as far as I've got. And I just want to pray for you right now. So, you know, just where you're at, I just want to just pray in Jesus' name. We declare healing over that left leg. We declare healing over those left legs, Lord, in Jesus' name. Complete healing, complete movement given again. We just pray for pain to go. We pray for sickness to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
During the worship, I was thinking of Elijah and the cloud, and that he could see, he had the faith for something that was coming. And I began to ask myself, what's in my cloud? What do I really want to see? What am I yearning for? And it was just to see this place filled with the awesomeness of God. But I believe there's people here that have lost their vision, and they have like a sense in their heart that, God, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. Father, just show me. And God wants to restore your vision. He wants to restore your heart, your spirit. It says, without vision, the people perish. And I just sense there's people that are just wanting God to pour out his vision, not just for his life, but Father, for this city, for this church, for this nation. And I think after COVID, it's just a sense that need to go deep into our spirits, deep into our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Father, just pour in to our hearts a restoration. Pour into our spirits your anointing, your goodness, your joy to just bring us that life, that light, that glory that displays your splendor. Amen.
So this is more of a testimony, and it's not mine, but I just want to share this, and I've asked for permission to share this. Do you want to come up, Shirley? So I was having my nails done on Friday afternoon, and I was sat with another young lady next to me, much younger lady next to me, and she had a young daughter in the pram, and we just started a conversation. I didn't know this lady or anything else. We just got chatting, and I was, they said that her mum was coming, and so I got chatting with her mum, and then they mentioned the name Delilah. I always get it wrong, don't I?
Yeah.
Delilah. I know a little girl called Delilah. She comes to my church. And they went, oh, really? And I said, she comes with a great-grandma called Shirley. And we'd only spoken a couple of weeks ago. So this is God. This is completely God. And so as I started chatting with them about Delilah, she started sharing about how Delilah had been in hospital all week with infections, and which is ongoing. And that and Delilah was just saying, no, Jesus is going to heal me. And she was praying, and she's seven. She's seven, okay? So the Holy Spirit, I just felt it fall in the nail salon. Anywhere it can happen, okay? So, and there I could feel, you know, you could feel electricity in the air. And everybody else was listening, I could tell. And as Donna, Shirley's granddaughter, was sharing with me, she was so excited. She said, it's God, it's God, it's God. I said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. She said, and you're sat next to me. I said, yes, I am. She said, this is God. I went, yes, it is. And she said, and we went for results this morning, and they're clear. We're still waiting for some. They're still waiting for some. But Delilah's faith is up here, which is giving faith to her mum, which is giving faith to her grandma, which is giving faith to aunties and everybody else. And so I just want to stand with Shirley right now.
And she was saying, I was in the hospital waiting, yeah, and Donna, a mum, right?
Yeah.
She's very, because my granddaughter, I've got a few granddad, do suffer really bad with depression. And this is another thing we needed pray about. I've got like 2-3 granddaughters. Mm. One is Tom's daughter, his eldest daughter, and she's currently off work with it. He's gone, you know. So, when you said about depression, I did want pray about that. But getting back to Delilah first, we was in the hospital when we sat there, just me, Donna and Donna Rowe. Donna Rosling, we call her Donna Rowe, so we don't, And Donna was about to start to cry. So Donna Delilah's nudged me. There she goes again, Gran. I said, okay. I thought, because I could see Donna. Mum, what are you crying for? Crying's not going to heal me. She said, yeah, but I'm worried about you, Delilah. Well, worry's not going to heal me.
Come on.
Right? This is what she was saying. Yeah. She said, but what is helping me? She said, is antibiotics. Then she stood up in the thing, and she started singing, Waymaker, Miracle Worker. She started singing it to her. Miracle Worker, Life in. Because she absolutely loved, that's her favourite song. And she just stood in the over, just to sing, and she started singing that. Okay, Mum, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that was Delilah.
And so, faith can, out of the mouths of babes and children, it's as small as a mustard seed, and that's what it says. Yeah. But we need to press on for more. Yes,
we're waiting on more, hopefully this week.
So,
jump in prayer that they come back clear.
So I'm going to pray for people with infection, for healing, and for depression as well.
Yeah.
All right.
Especially for my
okay, we'll pray right now. Okay, Father God, Yeah. So, Father God, we just lift up Shirley's family, Father God. I just see her right now as this major matriarch, Father God, is for her whole family, oh, Father God. We just pray more than any, Father God, for salvation throughout her whole family in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God.
Whoa. Ooh.
Father God, that it just salvation will come, you know, straight from your heart, Father God, to each of theirs, for the daughters, the granddaughters, the great-granddaughters, the sons, everybody, oh, Father God. We just pray, Father God, as your salvation comes through that family, Father God, from this matriarch who's been praying for the whole family, Father God, that you will just now cleanse all depression from them, Father God, that you will lift all depression. Oh, whoa. And Father God, we just lift Layla to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for her faith. We thank you, Father God, for this child of God with the faith of a mighty Moses, Father God. And we just thank you that in her heart, Father God, you are residing, Father God, not just residing, but being poured out, Father God, as testimony to all those who see her, Father God. And we just pray, we just continue just to say amen to complete healing. We say amen to complete healing. We say amen to all tests to be completely normal and negative. Oh, Father God, for the glory of heaven is going to reside within this family in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Whoa.